And the Jays are back in action tomorrow. Here's the GM of the Jays, Ross Atkins. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing all right, guys. Thanks for having me on. I hope the sizes were close.
It's a ballpark. Oh, yeah.
That might get dicey. That might get dicey when things get unwrapped, bud.
Well, just let me know. Let me know. We can make the adjustment.
Yeah, we started the show talking about that. The COVID-15, we avoided it for about 12 months, and it's starting to creep up a little bit. But we were also wondering how you'd feel about this, and I hope you can give us an honest answer, because the fan base is freaking out, as you would know. And I'm sure you're familiar with Overreaction Monday in the NFL. The first Monday of the NFL season, whoever wins is a Super Bowl contender. Whoever loses is going 0-16. And yesterday was an impressive win, and Jays fans are fired up. Do you allow yourself to overreact to one win, especially an impressive one at Yankee Stadium?
I think it's kind of more of a pint on the patio than using your scale.
Okay, I like that.
I love it. Yeah.
That's cool comment collected.
Listen, it did feel good, you know, after a long off season and an exciting one for us and for the fan base to come together and not with our full health and full squad facing Gerrit Cole and spring training in a pandemic and, you know, the protocols our players are under to start off against Gerrit Cole with a W felt good. Felt good to have a pint on the patio after the game with Charlie Montoyo.
Do you share anything similar to the fans? I mean, I'm watching the game, and when Gerrit Cole was leaving, I'm like, thank God that guy's gone. Thank God he's walking off. I love it right now. Do you share any of that, or is it just like this might be an opportunity for our team?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's arguably the best pitcher in the game if he isn't. So when you can get him out before the sixth or seventh inning, that is a huge accomplishment. So you'd rather face just about anybody than him. They have a very good bullpen, but you know, he's also someone that once he gets going, he seems to get more and more comfortable. He doesn't seem to lose any power or effectiveness. So, it's always better to have him out of the game as soon as possible.
Well, and Vladdy went to work on him yesterday. He had that one single that was on a rope, and he walked twice. I mean, to get on base three times against Gerrit Cole is incredibly impressive. And he had a great spring. I mean, we heard about it for the better part of a month and a half, about how he looks, how he feels. You were obviously down there in Dunedin. You were tracking it up close and personal. What makes you feel good about this upcoming season for Vladdy Guerrero Jr.?
Well, not much better than what you just said, but having seen it over the course of time now, over the 40-plus at plate appearances, and then for it to be in at-bats that really matter against, as we were just talking about, such an effective pitcher, is very encouraging. It's been very consistent. The very good takes, laying off of really close pitches, and just being willing to take that walk is incredibly powerful for the rest of our lineup and for him, you know, over the course of the year. And over the last year and a half, he had a harder time than he did in the minor leagues laying off those borderline pitches. So he's in a great spot. Obviously, the bat speed, I mean, that line drive right back up the middle was hit exceptionally hard. And it was an electric fastball that he turned around. So really encouraged.
And defensively, he made some really quality plays at first. I thought you got a lot of that out of your infield yesterday. Biggio looked, you know, comfortable at third, and Semien made a couple of nice plays at second. And obviously, that was something that cost you at times last year. And you're talking three young guys in Biggio, Bo, and Vladdy. Semien comes in, who's a vet. But, again, it's a small sample size. It's one game. But do you feel like that improvement is going to be there? And if you can extrapolate that over the course of the year, how much improvement is that going to bring to your team?
Yeah, you know, if you guys, and we have the benefit of being under the hood during spring training and seeing what they're doing on a daily basis to prepare for those types of plays. And Kevin Biggio and Marcus and Bo were out there every single day, very early in the morning, and working on all of those plays that you saw executed were worked on. They were every angle, every different read they could think about. They were having fun with it. It was a very, very disciplined approach, which gives you a lot of confidence that it's going to be sustainable. And that's huge for us. That is makes our pitching better. It puts them in a better mindset when they're coming to the plate. It is everything. I think oftentimes people will talk about everything's pitching and defense, and it really is. All of it matters, right? Like every part of the game matters, and that will impact the player's confidence and their ability to contribute to the team over a long period of time.
We're chatting with Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays. The Jays picking up a 3-2 win over the Yankees yesterday. They're off today, back in action tomorrow. Julian Merriweather was lights out in the 10th yesterday. Threw 11 pitches, 10 for strikes, got upwards of 99 on the gun, and then came back with 80 on the gun in a changeup. And this is a guy that we're familiar with because he was originally a player to be named later. That was our first introduction with Julian Merriweather in the Donaldson deal, and you were familiar with him from your years in Cleveland, but he's had real injury problems. But was this always the projection? You know, back in Cleveland, even when you acquired him, did you feel confident that if he got healthy, this is his stuff and he can apply it at the major league level?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we wouldn't have gotten the player if he didn't have health issues. You know, where Josh was at the point in his career, it wasn't like JD was coming off of, MVP performance sustained year in. You know, he was obviously and still is a very good player. But the reason we had access to Julian is because he had had Tommy John surgery. So now we're seeing he is healthy, he is effective, and if we can help keep him healthy, then he is obviously a weapon. That was a near immaculate inning and overpowering and in a very, very, about as high leverage as you could get, too. It was interesting, too, the stadium with only 20% capacity, it sounded and felt in some ways almost full. It was a very good environment and a great challenge for our guys.
Was it almost bittersweet to see that, Ross, the fans in the stadium and knowing that you can't really, you're not going home to yours and the Blue Jay fans don't get to get in, but it's also good for the guys to play on the road and see the fans in the stands?
I think that's well said. It is. You know, I can't wait for that day for us to be in Toronto and for it to be electric in that stadium because our players haven't experienced it. Teoscar to some extent, but most of them haven't experienced and when that stadium is packed, just how energetic it is. And I can't wait for that day.
With Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays. Yeah, I mean, you guys signed George Springer, too, right? You give him the biggest deal in franchise history, and it's a massive pull via free agency. It's one of the top two or three signings probably in team history in terms of free agency, or close to it anyway, and a ton of buzz that comes with it. Eventually, we'll get to see him play here. He's here for the long haul. But he starts on the IL. It felt like that's where it was going, but you guys were speaking somewhat openly about his attitude and how he desperately wants to play. So can you describe the back and forth here? Did you have to drag him onto the IL? Did he understand the benefits of going on the IL? Where do we stand here with George Springer?
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting process for him because it's a relatively new relationship, right? And we're building trust with one another and wanted to make sure he felt he was a big part of that decision. His desire to be there opening day against Garrett, against the Yankees with that new group could not have been higher. And his pain tolerance and his toughness is very high. His strength is very high. So he felt capable, I think, in the end, understood what it could mean if that set him back, even if it was just a minor setback and he had to play for a month or two with aggravation or tightness or stiffness. I think he got to the point where he recognized it just wasn't worth it. So it did, in the end, did not feel obviously it was our call and us taking it out of his hands, but he absolutely understood it.
So sticking with the IL theme, where do we stand with Nate Pearson? And when he returns, what is the plan for Nate in terms of bullpen, eventually getting some starts in? How do you guys intend on working with Nate Pearson throughout the year?
Yeah, as quickly as we can get him built back up to be a starting option for us and a very good one, we will do. We're really encouraged about the way he's talking about the injury and things he can do to potentially prevent it from happening again and make sure that we're not ramping him up too quickly and then exposing another part of the body, elbow, shoulder, oblique, back, whatever it may be. So, he's encouraged. He's really strong, pain-free. He was off of a mound today, so you know, a lot of good news on that front, and he'll be back in the starting mix as soon as we can get him built up to that innings workload.
The expanded roster, it's only one spot, going from 25 to 26, and it's carried over to this year. But how does that benefit a guy like you, Ross, as the GM, as the architect of this team, moving pieces around? How beneficial is it for the GMs throughout baseball to have a 26-man roster?
You know, it's interesting with how much the game, we're talking about the game changing, we're talking about needing change to create more excitement, energy around it, the length of game played, and how roster construction can potentially impact that. And then there's tons of dialogue around pitcher usage and guys with a three-batter minimum and how we can limit or potentially maximize pitchers and on your roster and how many of them can be there, which there isn't a current limit. So in this year, we absolutely benefit from it and benefit from having that extra spot to make sure we can keep guys healthy. I think you've seen across the game so many different evolutions of roster construction to put guys in better position and not playing 106. It's rare for a guy to play 162 games in a row. There's very few guys getting 700 plate appearances in a year. The teams that are winning are having multiple guys getting the, you know, high 500s and low 600s as opposed to guys in high 600 plate appearance range. And diversifying those that exposure a bit is definitely beneficial, and that added roster spot helps you do all of those things. So it'll be interesting to see 2 years from now, 3 years from now, as we continue to, you know, create more excitement and energy and in-game activity, how that roster construction takes place. But in the current state, coming out of a pandemic, having missed a lot of time and development or just workload, it's really important that we have it, and exceptionally important today.
Well, you guys got off to a great start yesterday. You're 1-0 on the season. Back in action at Yankee Stadium tomorrow. There's a lot of buzz up here. I know you guys are disconnected from it, but I'm sure you're hearing about it. And we'll see where the rest of the season goes. As always, we appreciate the time, Ross. Good luck tomorrow and down the road, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, Brian, thanks for having me on. Surely O-Dog won that 40-yard dash today.
No. We have.
I don't know.
You want to respond?
Yeah, I can't even. I'm not. It's embarrassing. I'm not even getting into it, Ross.
All right. Al's brother's got wheels. On, if you need him, he's available. He's a free agent.
All right.
Just think about it.
Spot.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Ross.
See you guys.
There's Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays.